Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, brewing and barrel aging craft beer since 1988. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and Greg, we're excited. We're going to the other side of the world. We're going to spend this show in New Zealand talking about that country's rich legacy of music. But to start off, we have to deal with a record that's making a lot of news, probably the biggest artist ever to come out of New Zealand, and she is now only 20, Ella Maria Lani Jelich O'Connor, better known as Lorde. Born in New Zealand, made her big splash in 2013, first with a self-released single. That single is Royals. And we'll never be royal. It's a one in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Made with her collaborator Joel Little, it really set the world on fire. Becomes a worldwide hit. By the time the album Pure Heroine comes out at the end of 2013, she spent weeks on top of the charts in the U.S. and in many other countries. She is taking home an armful of Grammys, a Brit Award, you name it. People are saying that at the age of 15 and then 16, you know, she's invented a new sound. It's part indie underground, part dream pop. She's doing fascinating things with very minimal ingredients, mainly a striking voice and an interesting personality, and then disappears. 4 years, Lorde has been off the scene, out of the spotlight. She said that that first album, Pure Heroine, quote, was my way of enshrining teenage glory. The new one, she says, is about what comes next. Joel Little is on board for some of it, but she has worked with a new producer, Jack Antonoff. Who is this guy? Remember Fun?
Sure.
Small F-U-N period. And Taylor Swift. He played a big role on Taylor Swift's 1989. The album is called Melodrama. We're going to play a song from it, Perfect Places, and then come back and give our reviews. Lorde on Sound Opinions. Every night I live and die. Feel the party to my bones. Watch the wasters blow the speakers. Spill my guts beneath the outdoor light. It's just another graceless night. I hate the headlines and the weather. I'm 19 and I'm on fire. But when we're dancing, I'm alright. It's just another graceless night. Are you lost enough? Have another drink, get lost in us. This is how we get notorious. Oh, cause I don't know if they keep telling me where to go. I'll blow my brains out to the radio.
That is Perfect Places from the new Lorde album, Melodrama. Jim, it's interesting that this is an album where the word I is used more than we. We, the community, us, my generation, that was a big theme in that first Lorde album. I think that's why that record had such a huge appeal, because she was giving voice to this generation that was emerging. There was a lot of optimism there. Okay, we see the world for what it is. We're skeptical about it, but we're going to make it a better place. Our generation is going to make some changes.
Royals really is a millennial version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
It really is.
Here we are now, entertain us.
It really is. And now we are retreating back to I. Less we, more I. Increasing sense of isolation. Now, some may sort of view this like the pop star is, you know, too big for her britches. You know, she's outgrown her generation. You know, I'm not reading it so much as that, as her realization that, as in that song, Perfect Places, those perfect places that we thought we were starting to create for ourselves, you know, it's sort of an illusion, you know? And this album is set up as a night of partying and then the morning after, and the realization that, hey, maybe things aren't so great anymore. There's also a breakup that is a subtext of this record, a real-life breakup. But I think the themes here are still universal. And what I am most impressed by is her work with Jack Antonoff. While she's making a what is essentially a singer-songwriter album, much more traditional in feel in some ways as the debut was, which was a very hip-hop influenced album. This is more piano-based singer-songwriter songs. There are still these kind of off-color touches that make this kind of a stranger kind of pop record. It is not a conventional mainstream kind of pop record that you would expect from an artist that is selling millions of records. I am my mother's child. I love you till my breathing stops. I love you till you call the cops on me. It is kind of an art pop record. And from that standpoint, she's still taking chances both in terms of the melodies and the arrangements. And in the lyrics, saying something that's, you know, a little bit harder to swallow. It's like, okay, maybe we're not all we're cracked up to be. And where are those perfect places that we thought we were going to have? So we were seeing a sort of a loss of innocence record here, emerging into a young adulthood, and it's a tough place to be. It's a buy-it record for me.
You know, I like the record a lot, Greg. I don't love Antonoff's production. I wish he had continued to work with Joel Little. You know, we're seeing, incredible things done in a minimalist pop setting these days by a group like Sneaks. I could listen to productions like Royals for the rest of my life. I think there's a little fussiness and a little bit too much cleanliness in the Antonoff production. He knows this is Grammy-bound, this record, okay? That having been said, the songs are extraordinary. Lord's Way of embracing a melody, taking it somewhere unexpected, doing interesting things with the arrangements, you know, the way the piano will suddenly kick in and lift the song to another level, or most of all, her voice. That song, The Louvre, the delivery, this is the best throwaway, like, pop delivery I've heard. I don't know. I'd have to go back to, like, something like These Boots Are Made for Walking. I think progresses. I call and you come through. Blow all my friendships to sit in hell with you. But we're the greatest. They'll hang us in the Louvre. Down the back, but who cares? Still the Louvre. Down the back, but who cares? Yeah. Still the Louvre. The way she adds the still the Louvre. Yeah. It's priceless. You know, sophistication in terms of delivery. I really wish, I'd like to hear the demos for this record, but don't get me wrong. The songs make it a buy it still. A double buy it for Lord's melodrama.
So yes, Lord is the biggest pop star to come out of New Zealand, but the country has produced a lot of great music besides that. On our musical tour of New Zealand, we're going to dig deep into what is known as the Dunedin sound. This was that blend of indie pop, indie rock that came out of New Zealand in the late 70s on through the 80s and into the 90s. Many great bands, not only establishing a culture of music in this island nation, but having a huge influence on bands outside of New Zealand for the first time.
Hey, you know, you hear it in Pavement, Greg. You hear it in a lot of power pop from the U.S. and from Europe. I always heard it in the Elephant Six bands out of Ruston, Louisiana. Anybody that loves idiosyncratic, vaguely psychedelic pop has at some point turned toward the Dunedin sound. To get our tour, our world tour, occasional series we do here on Sound Opinions of New Zealand, we have turned to Nick Bollinger. He's a critic, a musician, a producer from New Zealand. His radio show on Radio New Zealand is called The Sampler. He's written several books about the sounds of New Zealand, including a recent memoir, Gonville, about that period in the 70s. Nick, welcome to Sound Opinions.
Hi.
So, Nick, the bands we're going to talk to you about, the Chills, the Verlaines, they all had a couple things in common. They recorded for a label called Flying Nun. It's become legendary in the indie rock world. And many of them had roots in the city of Dunedin. Let's start by you telling us what Dunedin is like.
Dunedin's a university town. It's the main city of the Otago region, which is the southernmost part of New Zealand. So it's quite isolated. It's a hilly place. It's very cold in winter, so a lot of time to spend sitting around keeping warm and in front of the stereo. It's got a beautiful harbour, but it's a university town, and a lot of young people go there from all over the country to go to university.
Nick, how would you describe the Dunedin sound?
Well, initially, I think it was characterised by a lot of young musicians who were starting out with pretty rough equipment, primitive skills, and so the sound was a sort of an inevitable consequence of that. You got a lot of very trebly, hard, strummed guitars and clattery drums and the occasional farfisa organ. One thing about these young musicians was I think they had particularly great record collections, and that was a function of growing up or living in Dunedin. This is a new theory that I've only just hatched, but having this constantly shifting student population, there was a thriving used record trade there. Mm. And I think a lot of this music just changed hands. And then there were a few old veterans who would turn some of the younger musicians on to things that they ought to hear, you know. So there was a real music-loving community who weren't just listening to what was on the radio but were digging a bit deeper. And that implanted itself in the minds of some of these young musicians. So even though they were just starting out, they had quite clear ideas about what their aesthetic was, what they wanted to play, and what they wanted it to sound like.
Were there any common touchstones in terms of the kind of bands and genres that influenced the Dunedin sound?
They were going right back into the 60s and listening to quite obscure American garage bands, and the Velvet Underground had barely rippled the surface in New Zealand up to that point. There's a prominent drone that runs through a lot of that music.
We'll continue our look at the Dunedin sound and the music of New Zealand in a minute. And later on, I'll pick a track I can't live without. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.